to another episode of the Menswear Style Podcast. I'm your host, Pete Brooker. On this episode, I'm going to be talking to Steve Bryant, the founder of The Devout, the UK's first fashion rental subscription service that launched just in June 2020. So it's brand new. It's a really imaginative idea where you can just rent your clothes, you pay a subscription, you don't go out and buy an entire new wardrobe that you can't afford. You get to pick and choose from a number of really great marquee name brands. Ted Baker's up there. Jack Jones is up there. It's all over on the devout.com. That's the website. And we'll get into how he got to start this business in a minute. But first, www.menswearstyle.co.uk. That's the place you go for all of your trend articles, fashion, up-to-date minute grooming tactics, skills, grooming tactics. I don't know if that's a thing, but all the show notes from this episode we'll put over there as well. Loads of other content. Make sure you're following us on the socials so you can stay up to date when we upload new daily articles. And if you want to get in touch with the show, if you want to tell us about your journey, it's info@menswearstyle.co.uk. Okay. Here is that interview with Steve Bryant, founder of thedevout.com. Well, it's my great pleasure to introduce Steve Bryant, founder of The Devout, the UK's first fashion rental subscription company. How are you doing today, Steve?
Yeah, well, thanks. How about yourself?
I'm really well, thanks. Steve, I'm so pleased to have you on. Perhaps you can just give me a little nutshell resume of you, how you started the brand, but perhaps leading up to what made you start The Devout.
No, for sure. Well, it's like you said, so I'm Steve. I founded The Devout just under a month ago, which has been a year in development, effectively. So rental itself, I discovered the concept when I was in America last year. And over in America, the whole concept of renting something is so far advanced. You can rent anything from Mercedes-Benz. They've got their own subscription, through to obviously fashion, but even down to homeware, furniture, and pretty much anything you can think of, you can consume it on a rental subscription. And so really, I looked at what options are available in the UK. And actually, is there anything there for men, but also for women as well, in the same kind of market? And the only things that were available, and still to this day that are available except The Devout, is very much occasion wear. So it's very kind of specific events, weddings, the traditional stuff as you'd pretty much expect, right, to hire rent, but nothing down to everyday fashion, down to new season, new trends. There's nothing like that, or was nothing until we launched. My background is pretty much in marketing. So ever since I was 18 and left school, I've been in digital marketing, e-commerce roles. So I kind of looked at, okay, how do you build this type of brand, and how do you build this type of technology? So I really come at it from how do you build a piece of tech that enables you to rent clothes from an online proposition in such a way that you can pick multiple items of your choice, which is the key part, and then rent them on a subscription. So that's what's taken a long time to really perfect and refine to bring you the service that you see now.
Right, interesting. And before we get into The Devout, a question for you, Steve. Why do you think it is the UK is so behind the US in this?
Well, I think in terms of our culture, is very much we like to own things. So if you think about our concept of owning houses and buying houses, versus a lot of other places in the world, that's actually quite uncommon to physically want to own something. Most, especially in Europe, and I pick Germany off the top of my head, the concept of buying is actually not necessarily desirable. They're more than happy to lease, to rent, to borrow, rather than own. But in the UK, it's very much, if I see something I like, I want to just pay for it.
Yeah, right.
And so obviously, you know, as we're talking about things like sustainability, as we're being a lot more conscious, especially since COVID, but over time, we've generally become more conscious about our buying habits. The different option to consume the same things, but in a different way, i.e. a rental model or a leasing model, is starting to take a lot more of center stage. So it's really just making that as available as we can.
Interesting. So my girlfriend would often talk about, she's Russian, but spent a long time in America. She left Russia when she was 18 and spent, I don't know, about 20 years in the US. And she says It's because the UK, we don't have any natural minerals. It's not like we have any oil underground that we can just farm out, and now we can think about enterprising and think about, you know, expanding outwards. It's all about, what do we have here? Well, we have real estate. We have bricks and mortar. So whenever there's any kind of doubt in the economy, as perhaps you might be seeing now, it's like, well, let's just make sure we got our doors shut, and let's make sure we own our grass and our own sand pits, and we'll all be fine. So it's a very much a UK mentality thing. I digress. moving on to the devout, Steve, can you talk us through perhaps how you managed to raise some capital to get this business going, but also how you managed to get the brands on board as well? What were the early conversations like?
Yeah, well, so on the first question in terms of raising finance, so as I mentioned, separately to the devout, I run a marketing agency, which has grown really well over the last 5 years. So up until now, to I guess as part of our seed round, it's all been self-funded. So we've put a lot of investment from our group of companies, which I own the group, but we've essentially taken some profit from the marketing agency and put it into this project, as we think it's a really good idea to get us to that seed level. And then when the time's right, once we've proved the concept, once it gets up and running, that's obviously when we'll look to external private equity to really bolster our finances to move us on to that next level. In terms of the second part of the question, which, just remind me, what was the question?
Oh, so brands. Basically, do you select the brands? How do you vet them? How do they get through the door?
So basically, when we were looking at brands to feature, effectively, we were looking at, okay, what brands are going to be appealing on a rental model? What brands are every day? What brands are for occasions? And actually, what brands do guys like us wear on a day to day? So, you know, obviously we wanted to have a nice collection of brands that you would typically wear every day. So really nice statement fashion pieces, to brands that you potentially aspire to buy at the same time, to give you some really good value for money. So we have started to approach some brands, and Bestseller, which is a group of brands which includes Selected and Jack and Jones. They were one of the first partners that we brought on board. Obviously, the Jack and Jones brand is a very good, very mainstream, but very popular menswear brand. And so they, for me, on the men's side, were really key brand to get on board. Selected, again, has some absolutely gorgeous pieces, but predominantly for the female side. And we just had a very open conversation because, again, like we said earlier, that the concept of renting clothes in the UK just doesn't really exist on a fashion level, on a trend level. So it was really opening their eyes to, actually, look, we've got, you know, we've done our research. We know that there are thousands of customers that are looking at different ways to consume their fashion. They want a rental proposition. That's what they've told us. So we want to deliver that to them. But they don't just want a dress or a suit to wear for an occasion. They want to wear stuff for work. They want something to go out on the weekend. Does your collection, you know, sort of match that? And can we find some synergy there? And so, as I said, particularly Jack and Jones and alongside Selected, they were really on board with it. They invest a hell of a lot in terms of their own material. So they're big on sustainable or their sustainability credentials. So a lot of their jeans in particular are made with organic cotton. And so they were saying that it matches in with their own ethos of producing responsibly sourced and ethical materials to produce their clothes. So they were saying that kind of follows on with the mentality of prolonging the life cycle of the clothes themselves, and obviously then making sure that we try and move away from that fast fashion mentality. So that was the original conversations that we've had, and obviously since then we brought on Farah and Penguin and Ted Baker and All Saints. So we're starting to build up a real arsenal of top quality brands, but also at the same time brands that we know and love every day and we already wear, and it's just being able to then provide you the brands you love and the brands you do wear in a different way.
And are brands coming to you and saying, hey, can we be a part of this as well? How's the push and pull of this so far with the brands?
Yeah, definitely. So before we launched, we did a big push over to retailers through obviously some industry press, and we said, you know, look, we're launching this and, you know, you're doing it all wrong trying to sell all of this stuff. And actually, you know, lockdown and COVID has made us all think, you know, actually we're doing a lot of damage to the planet. And what can we do? What can we contribute to helping that, you know, helping the planet? And so obviously with that, we took that to brands and said, look, people want to change. They want to buy or want to consume everything in a slightly more, let's just say, healthier way. What are you doing to support that? And actually, can we, you know, can we assist and can we support you with providing a platform like this to give to, you know, to give that accessibility to more customers? So a lot of the sustainable brands, so Knowledge Cotton is a particular sustainable brand in themselves. So they've been very vocal with us and having conversations with us about, okay, what's the best way to fit? So we're just working on a collection with them that's going to fit the audience. So we're going to be bringing them to you over the next couple of months. But certainly, yeah, sustainable brands have been talking to us. And as I said, you know, other brands as well. I can't say too much at this stage, as you can imagine. but they're saying, this is so new for us. You know, what are customers actually saying? You know, and actually, let's work together on more research. Let's understand what they want to buy, and let's build specific collections around the rental proposition. So lots of exciting brands to drop over the next few months.
Interesting. And maybe you can just tell us how the model works. It's quite well delineated on the website, thedevout.com. That's where you can find out all the information, but perhaps you can just give us the broad strokes of what people can expect.
For sure. So as I said, it's a monthly subscription. So you can sign up to rent 5 pieces of your choice every month. So we've got a nice collection of products, which, as I said, are being added to almost every week at the minute. So you select the 5 items you want from a variety of different brands, and you rent them for a month. And at the end of the month, you effectively can choose to keep them all for longer. So you can choose to rent them all again. You can keep them forever by paying for them with a discount, or you can send them all back and swap all 5 items. The subscription itself costs £79 per month, and that includes obviously your laundry of products that you send back, and obviously then collection delivery is included as well. So it's really giving the flexibility to say, look, you can have a new wardrobe every month if you want, but you can also swap as many or as little products as you want.
I see. And I guess some of the questions you might get asked quite a bit, what happens if the clothes are sent back and they're deteriorated so bad that you can't then replenish them or put them into another cycle?
Yeah, so we've got a really sophisticated dry cleaning and laundry operation in our warehouse. So we've really invested a lot into make sure that not only is it eco-friendly, and I could talk for hours about the cleaning process to make sure that it is definitely a really sustainable and eco-friendly way of laundering items. But what that means is that when it comes down to things like stains, and that's the most common type of damage that comes back in rental clothes, which is different. And looking at our own laundry service, we can pretty much get any stain out of it, all the way down to rust. So most of the items, so we've obviously included accidental damage as part of the cover. So if you lose a button, if you break a zip, that's absolutely fine. So all of your mainstream damage pretty much is covered. You won't have to pay anything else. You just send it back as you would do normally, and we do the rest. The only exception is if it comes back ripped to pieces, then we might have to.
there's only so much you can do. There's only so much magic you can perform. Well, I mean, look, I mean, getting into the mindset of a guy that is, well, I guess anyone that's given clothes or kind of rents clothes, it doesn't have that certain pride of ownership as if you did if you were buying something. Like, I mean, I think we can all relate to the first car that we might have been gifted by our parents or something. You know, we just rag it around and treat it like crap, versus the one that we get and we slave away for and we work crap jobs and we buy it maybe in our 20s and we shine that thing every weekend, right? So there's always some kind of pride of ownership no matter what you have. Do you fear that, or I mean, I guess, is it too early to see at this stage whether, you know, people's mindsets are still in that kind of rental mode, treat their cars and rag it on the weekend type thing?
Well, no, I think you're right in one sense, that where we are as a society is that we need that education to say, you know, look, in terms of how we absorb other things, you've got to remember videos. We used to buy them and then we started to rent them and then we started to stream them. Remember CDs as well. They were a thing. And we used to pop down Absolutely. So we used to pop down to the shop. We used to buy our now 57, I think was the first one I bought. And then we take it home and we play it. But now we stream it. So we don't actually own any music. We don't actually buy any music. We just stream it. So the concept is that it's saying, okay, you're not owning it, but what you're actually getting is a constant stream of new stuff. And that's what we're really focusing on here is that, okay, you might not own it, but do you really care about owning a pair of jeans, you know, or do you really care about actually owning a jacket? When the next month you could have a new jacket. So every time you go through different seasons, every time you go to different events, you've got a different jacket, you've got a new outfit to wear. So you're always getting that impulse of something new. You're always looking sharp and fresh. And actually, that's probably worth more than owning a five-year-old jacket that you kind of like.
Yeah, that's interesting. And you've also got women's collections on there as well. How is it swinging for you, men versus women?
Money is all around us, and we think about it more than almost every other aspect of our lives. But how can we make more of it, and what's our drive for building wealth beyond just the numbers in our bank account? Join us on the Make More podcast as our host Matt Heslin brings to you a dynamic lineup of experts in the world of investing, business, health, and beyond. Together, they unpack the secrets to not just surviving, but thriving in today's economy. It's about more than just wealth. It's about crafting life experiences, seizing opportunities, and building a legacy. Subscribe now to the Make More with Matt Heslin podcast and join us every week for new expert insights and inspiration.
Well, I think if we look at the comparable services that are available at the minute, like I said, they're mostly occasion wear, but they are all catering exclusively to women. And that's because females generally, they're a lot more used to swapping, borrowing, you know, buying vintage and so on. This way there is very much female focused. So, and that's pretty much the same for us. So we have around a 70% split at the minute to females to guys. That's pretty much what we expected from the start. So we've always predicted a female focus to begin with. And obviously what we're doing at the minute is educating guys on actually, look, your girlfriend probably does this and actually why she does that. And actually here's what you can get for the same. So there's obviously a lot more education to guys than there is to girls about this. But at the end of the day, it still gives you a huge value proposition on both sexes.
Yeah. Well, we're all slowly turning into chicks anyway. That's my rational. The amount of time I see guys spending in front of the mirror these days, roads.
honestly, every day, the amount of skincare and creams I get offered on Facebook.
Yeah.
Where it's like this is amazing. I just want to go to the beauty counter at some department store and spend the day there.
it's incredible, and it doesn't surprise me in the slightest that guys are also thinking of, I guess, how, I don't want to sound too misogynist or whatever the word is, but how guys would normally think, like a woman would think, like, how I can't go out in this outfit because somebody at the same party might have seen me wear this at the last party that I was at a couple of weeks ago. So, you know, they always kind of need to replenish and refresh their wardrobe. But we are slowly, I think, all starting to funnel into the same way of thinking when it comes to our fashion, and especially with social media and how people take pictures of everything all the time. You know, I go to quite a few influencer events, you know, maybe not so much in the last few months, obviously, but before that I would be on Zoom calls and I'd be doing interviews over Skype and I'd be thinking, oh, I spoke to this guy a couple of weeks ago and I wore this shirt, so I have to go back to the wardrobe now quickly and put something else on. So I don't know. I think guys are slowly becoming more orientated how they come across and what they dress, how they dress.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you hit the nail on the head. It's social media, isn't it? It's the same kind of Instagram vibe. It's the same for, you know, on the girl side as well. They're like, I cannot be seen twice in the same dress. You know, they go out the different ends, and the idea of being seen in the same thing is awful. And so the guys are slowly picking up on the same thing, and they want to go and get an outfit that looks really good. They might pick up a new shirt. They might pick up some good ripped jeans or something. And so the vibe is definitely, you know, really seeping in to say, I have to wear something new, you know, especially as you go on date nights and so on.
Right.
And obviously we're at home a lot more now, so actually they want something new to wear, something different to wear as they're, you know, hanging out in the living room or in the garden or whatever. They want something fresh and new in their life, because at the moment everything's, I guess, a bit stagnant, isn't it? We're kind of in the middle of everything.
That's true. I hadn't actually thought of it that way before, But now that we're all, well, we're all very much contained, the days are blurring, you know, it's like 40 days in the desert. But the one way that we can, you know, distinguish our days is by what we choose to wear. You know, I suppose everyone has the philosophy of, well, I'll just wear my pajamas. I can just sit through the whole day wearing my pajamas. But I know that I've actually manicured my wardrobe quite well over the last few days. I've thrown out a lot of stuff, or I've put them aside for charity, etc. And I've really taken time to actually sort out what I wear. And I actually enjoy it a little bit more now as well, because I can actually go, oh, this is something that I've actually selected. Somewhere along the process, I've gone, yeah, this actually works for me today.
No, yeah, definitely. Well, but that's the thing though, isn't it? I mean, as you said, I mean, can you believe it's what, getting towards the end of July now, you know, and right. I still think it's March. And so it's the same kind of vibe. I mean, obviously I know that people tend to buy fashion because they're going out or they're going to do something and they're buying it for a reason, rather than just to sit at home. But as you said, as we're working from home now, we've still got all of these Zoom calls to go to, so we've still got to look fresh. And again, you know, the idea of a workwear collection to work from home is actually just as relevant as if you were going to the office. And so, you know, you've got to think as well, you know, the spring summer collections from brands were usually come out about April, May time, but obviously in April, May, we weren't going out, so we didn't buy it. And that's obviously where brands themselves, retailers, are having such a terrible time trying to get rid of their spring summer stock, because nobody went out. So now we've got everybody who's still got their winter wardrobes and have got a couple of old t-shirts from last summer that they're sort of bringing out of the wardrobe, and they've not really updated their collection. So we're just seeing a lot of people going, oh, well, I do need to update, and actually let's fit a wardrobe around the life I currently live, which is lots of time at home, maybe a short trip out to the bar and whatever, but I'm not really going on mad nights out at the minute. And so it's really just trying to adapt a wardrobe. And then when you apply that to something like a rental proposition, it fits really well, because you're like, well, right now I'm not really going out, but as restrictions lift, as there's a bit more freedom that we've got, I might start going out more. So next month you can get a box that means that you're going to go out more, or that it means that you're going to go back to the office. And the month after that, things might change again. So you can change your wardrobe to suit your lifestyle.
Steve, question for you. Has this, again, I'm kind of just throwing spaghetti at the wall here, but has this pandemic in any way served you or played into your hand a little bit? Like, has the brands, for example, got like a stockpile of clothes, like you mentioned, that they can't shift, they can't put on discount because that's not really their gig, but they now can augment their outreach by having someone like you put it on a platform and have their name put out there. So in a way, has this helped you?
It's helped us in the sense that the conversation about sustainability, the conversation about being, we call it conscious shopping, has really taken center stage. So a lot of what we've been talking about over the last few weeks has really been focused on a different way to wear clothes. And that's really, if you think about, you know, going back to March and as everybody went and stayed at home, how much pollution was cleared from the air, and you know, how the planet started to look normal again in a lot of different ways. I mean, I don't know if you remember seeing the rivers of Venice.
I was actually just thinking that, yeah.
It's that image that just sticks with me every day, because it's like, literally, we all go home and stop polluting, and that's what happens. Everything starts to look healthy again from the planet's point of view. And that image, you know, for a lot of people, it sticks in their head going, do you know what? Actually, that's what I want to see. I don't want to see dirty water. I don't want to see all this pollution. So what can I do personally to contribute to that? So it certainly raised awareness of alternative fashion, sustainable fashion, slow fashion as well. And obviously we fit as part of a hybrid to that. But in terms of brands, I mean, don't get me wrong, I think, you know, brands are having a tough time of it in particular. You know, we've launched just after everything's gone wrong for brands. Yeah. So obviously we've kind of dodged a bullet there. I think if we launched 6 months early, we may be having the same kind of problems. But certainly for brands, you know, yes, they do want to offload stock. But I think at the same time, we don't want to ruin our own proposition just by trying to get rid of product, because that's not really what we're about. We want to provide a really good quality service with a nice clean range of clothes, rather than being like, oh, we have to discount the hell out of it because we've got too much stock. So certainly in terms of the topical nature of it, has really played into us, and as I said, it's highlighted our cause and what we're here for.
Interesting. Steve, Thanks so much for jumping on. I mean, the website's actually a really fun place to go, checking out all the brands. There's also some, there's some great informational blogs on there. You can find out all about the, well, how we're filling up our landfill. I think 350K's tons worth of clothing we're throwing up there every year. And, you know, also the divide between women and men going to the charity shops. I think, is it like 1 in 10 guys do it compared to women?
Absolutely, yeah. Now.
I mean, that's just nuts. Why is that? Why are guys so afraid of the charity shops?
I think they just prefer to throw it in the bin.
Yeah. It's just easy enough. God, we need to get it together, don't we? As a gender. Well, thanks so much for your time, Stephen. Best of luck. I know, I guess it's very early days for you, but the website's very comprehensive. The idea is very new, and I wish you all the best of it. The devout.com is the place to go.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for your time. Steve Bryant there. Thank you, sir, for coming on. And by the way, we spoke for about another 20, 30 minutes after we turned the mics off. He's a really nice guy. He gave up a lot of time. And you should really be checking this out because I think it will be a game changer in the industry. That's it for this week. So I hope you enjoyed this one. Make sure you're leaving reviews if you can. If you've got time, if you're digging the free content, leave us a review on iTunes. Let us know what you think. Head over to menswearstyle.co.uk. Once again, that's where we'll put all the show notes for this episode. And in the meantime, remember, it's only fashion, people. And you're never fully dressed without a smile.